Welcome to episode 11 of RV Family Travel Atlas. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
And we write about RV and family travel with our three young boys, Theo, Max, and Wes.
You can read about our adventures at livelylittlecampers.com, and you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
In this week's episode, we're talking about how to get started on your own RV adventure. We have tons of listeners who are dreaming about a camper but aren't quite sure where to start. We'll give you some of our own advice. Plus, we'll share some great tips from our experienced readers and listeners.
We will also be talking about some off-season entertainment in our house. We've been watching The Prophet every Tuesday night, a show on CNBC that follows entrepreneur Marcus Lemonis as he tries to turn around struggling businesses. What does this have to do with RVing, you might ask? Listen to find out.
All of this and so much more on this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas.
Before we head into this episode's featured topic, 10 tips for first-time RV buyers, we wanted to catch up with you guys on a couple things that are going on in our world. We have three great giveaways going on right now, and you can head over to livelylittlecampers.com to enter them. We're giving away a free weekend of camping at the Philadelphia Westchester KOA. You could also choose a cabin site, you could do an RV site, or you could use a credit towards a deluxe site. So it's an awesome giveaway. So if you haven't entered that one yet, head over to the website. We're also giving away two copies of Jane and Michael Stern's Road Food, which is just an all-time classic that should be in everybody's RV or everybody's car. And also, we're giving away a Mini Kick scooter. And actually, you have some choices there, right, Steph?
Right. It's not just the Mini Kick. It's from Micro Kickboard Company, and you can get the 3-in-1. You could get the Mini Kick, or you could get the Macro or the Maxi Kick. So you can get any one of those three.
Yeah, so three awesome giveaways going on right now on our website, and we're really excited to announce a fourth. And this is another great one, and we're super excited about this one. Steph, why don't you tell all of the listeners out there about our latest giveaway?
Well, I first pinned something from the See America Project onto our Pinterest boards last year. I saw these posters online somewhere, and I was like, oh, I love these. These are perfect. This really fits into what we love to buy when we travel places. We like to get a
piece
of local art.
You had gotten into this kind of mentality where we'd get a poster every time we went on a trip.
Yeah, like some sort of, or a piece of local art. Like we got that etching from the Finger Lakes region. You know, I just really realized that having a piece of art that represented a place that we had been to brought me joy every day, because we have them now framed and hanging around our house, and I see them and I love them. So that's something that has become a part of our buying habit whenever we travel. So I saw the See America Project and I loved it. Well, we revisited this See America Project, which is brought to you by the Creative Action Network.
Yeah, this is, and it should be said, this is a revitalized See America Project.
Right.
The original See America Project was during World War II.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or and after World War II.
Yeah, so the Creative Action Network, they're doing this project, and it's actually crowdsourced. It's an open source art project, really, where people can submit their different designs for locations around the country. And basically, this project makes me happy on every different level.
Yeah, we love surfing over to this website and looking at these posters and mugs and prints.
Right. So first of all, the content obviously is right up our alley, because we love America and we love the whole romanticism, like, of the road trip, you know?
Yeah, celebrating our national parks, celebrating the road trip, celebrating our monuments.
We're so lucky to have a country with just such beautiful diversity.
There's so much to see.
And we're lucky that way. And this project it celebrates that. So we love
and
that.
And it gets you excited about traveling.
But the other thing that I really love about this is it's accessible art. And it's real art. It's by artists. And when you buy from this from the Creative Action Network, this organization, you're supporting an artist who's working as an artist in this country. And I really like that part of the project. Right. I think accessible art is important to me. Affordable art. We're not people that can spend a lot of money on our art, so it's great to
These are beautiful prints, yeah. And they will light up your living room or light up your kitchen, yeah, or wherever you're going to put them. So we love this. We're going to do some Christmas shopping here ourselves.
Mm-hmm. And so, right, and here's the thing, is when you buy from the Creative Action Network, you can feel like you're supporting an individual, not a corporation. And I really
great
like that.
Point.
Like, you know,
great
everybody
point.
Says like Small Business Saturday, shopping and everything. And I think that this is a way that you can feel like you're supporting an individual and not a corporation in our country. And I like that too.
Yeah. And some of the artists have multiple works.
Yeah, they do.
On
so
the
obviously
site.
It's something that a lot of people
so
contribute
what's,
to.
So what's something you've liked or an artist you've enjoyed
yeah.
looking at?
So usually if I see one name under something, if I look at a few of theirs, I like kind of their style, you know, or
right,
the things that they
right.
do. And I just found another one. I had, you know, recommended one on the first time that we featured the Creative Action Network, but I really liked Matt Brass's stuff that I just saw.
Yeah, some of it was from Yellowstone. On Yellowstone.
And all of his stuff has a very particular look to it. You can look him up on there. You can see what I mean. I won't go into detail describing
playful,
it.
Playful,
like,
kind of
yeah,
fun.
Yeah, he's. I like his fonts, and he's got this little bit of an edge to it where it
kind of
puts,
bright and simple colors.
Yeah, and it very architectural, like in his
right.
lines, and it just kind of twists like.
But then there's like a bear popping
yes,
out of the woods.
Exactly.
Right.
So it's like nature and architecture, and I kind of like
yeah, I love that. I love that, like that print from Yellowstone, mm-hmm. and there's like a mug of it, or you could get a poster of it.
Yeah.
I've been enjoying John Kane, and I want to get one of his great Smoky Mountains National Parks prints. He's got one of those, and then also one of Big South Fork, and I didn't even know where that was. And part of the fun of looking through these prints on the website is there's really nice descriptions of the locations.
Yeah.
So it's almost like this kind of creative trip planner if you just kind of yeah. surf around and look at everything there.
So they have been kind enough to offer us a great giveaway where they will give one of our listeners a free poster, any
yes.
poster that
and,
you want to pick.
And
from
they're
going to
do three free posters. So we're going to give mm-hmm. away one for this week, one mm-hmm. for next week, and one for the week after. So we're super excited about this.
Yeah.
And we want you to get into it too, and to go over and look at the website and get it inspired for your own travels and enter to win. So Stephanie, how does somebody enter to win for this week's
okay,
print?
So this week we're doing it a little differently. You're not going to enter on our website. You are going to enter by giving us an iTunes review.
We are so manipulative
yeah.
and evil.
Well, because we have these thousands of listeners out there.
Yeah. And,
so you
need to step up and
yeah,
write us an iTunes review.
Yeah, the stats tell us that you're out there and that you're listening across the country. So now we need some reviews on iTunes because it matters, right? So all you have to do is head on over to iTunes, to your iTunes store.
Right.
And you can just review our podcast, RV Family Travel Atlas. And once you give us a review, send us an email at livelylittlecampers@gmail.com. Say, we reviewed you, you know, or I reviewed you. And we'll say it on there.
Yeah, this will be a small, intimate contest.
Yes.
And you'll have a good chance of winning.
Yeah,
definitely.
So that's what we'll do this week. We'll do it a different way each week.
Yeah, also worth mentioning that the Creative Action Network started a sale today for kind of like for
Black Friday.
Right. And the sale goes till December 1st, which I think is like Monday. So it's 30% off prints right now over mm-hmm. there, and 30% off framing, I believe, too. Mm-hmm. So if you want to do some Christmas shopping for that traveler on your list, you could not do better than to get them a print from the Creative Action Network See America.
Yeah, we really like this. So we're happy to get the word out
yeah,
about that.
So get in the game and head on over to iTunes and drop us a review.
Yeah, RV Family Travel Atlas.
4 or 5 stars only.
So for this week's featured topic, we are talking about our 10 tips for first-time RV buyers. And this is a topic that comes up a lot, just sort of in our work, in our writing, and in our podcasting, because we actually have a lot of readers and listeners out there that don't own RVs. They're thinking about owning RVs, and they like the idea of the lifestyle, but I think that that has to do with our, you know, a lot of our readership has young children.
Right, and they see us doing it with the baby and the twins.
Yeah, and they're like, okay, well, we can do this too, maybe. Or this might be a better way to travel or a more fun way to travel for us. Or we might be able to travel more, which I think a lot of people in sort of our situation of that middle-class family with young kids think, I want to travel more.
More and more affordable.
Yeah. So we actually have a lot of our readers and
listeners. We've been getting a lot of questions, and particularly since we started the podcast, we've been getting a lot of emails with questions about buying the first RV and how you do it.
So, but this past week we received an email that sort of stood out from the rest because we just thought it was sort of the perfect.
Like our favorite email anyone's ever sent
us. It had, you know, it just had the quality that sort of combined all the questions that we ever got.
It was so genuine. Yeah. Like this cry for help in the wilderness.
Well, that was the first word. The first word in the email from Melissa. Thank you, Melissa, for listening. And she wrote, help. Triple.
No, she wrote, help, all caps.
All caps, triple exclamation point, right? She wants help. And then she just said, like, oh, I love your podcast, and we want to, you know, try to RV next summer. And she said that they've camped before, but they definitely want a more comfortable camping situation.
And they're both teachers, and so, we're both teachers.
Yeah, right. So everything about this email is kind of like, oh, we love you. So then she said, this is our favorite line. How the hell do you start this journey?
Question mark, exclamation point. We both loved that line. Yeah. How the hell do you start this journey? Because we felt that way too.
Yeah. And for some reason, we just had a little more like gumption than a lot of other people do. Like who knows
But we made our mistakes too.
No, I'm saying that we just went out and did it. We didn't know what the hell we were doing.
Right.
But we just went out and bought a pop-up. I'm not quite sure why. I think that we were like, oh my gosh, we have twins. Our life is crazy. Let's get a pop-up.
Put it this way. In retrospect, I wish that we had been able to listen to this podcast and to this segment we're about to do, because now we're kind of like these crusty, crafty veterans, and we know the ins and outs after two purchases.
And I think that that's why we can speak to this topic so well and why we understand when people ask that, because neither of us had background. We didn't grow up RVing. And so 5 years later, we know a lot about it. But it's funny because we knew nothing.
We really did know nothing.
nothing.
I mean, we asked a couple questions. I surfed the internet a bit. We had this very romantic idea. We wanted a pop-up camper, and we kind of got stuck on that idea, and we kind of didn't do all the research we should have done.
Well, we'll go through all of this in this section, but we do want to say, so thank you, Melissa. Your email made us say, okay, we just need to devote, instead of giving little piecemeal advice here and there, we need
let's
to
put
devote
it all together.
An episode of our podcast to things that we think are crucial if you want to know how the hell to start this journey.
Yeah, so now we're going to explain. This is how the hell you start the journey. So
in 10 quick steps.
I don't know about quick, but step one, and this, let's start with the obvious. You have to figure out what kind of RV you want. And that sounds obvious, but it's actually kind of complicated because there are a lot of different types of RVs. You could get a pop-up. You could get a truck camper. You could get a hybrid travel trailer. You could get a travel trailer. You could get a toy hauler. You could get a fifth wheel. You could get a Class C. You could get a Class B. You could get a Class A.
All right.
So, but no, I'm trying to make a point. To somebody who doesn't know what any of these things are, that was an overwhelming list.
And I want to say, we did not know what any of those things
were. Oh my gosh. I remember somebody saying, oh, you should consider a hybrid travel trailer. And I was like, what are you talking about?
That conversation so distinctly stands out in my head. I remember talking to a couple that was experienced. Yeah, we were at the bowling alley. They were experienced in the world of RVing, and we knew that, and we were saying, oh, we're going to go. And he said, hey, if you're thinking of a pop-up, you really should look at hybrids. Now, at the time, we were so uneducated.
We were just convinced we couldn't buy one. We couldn't afford
it. Yeah, like when he was started to talk about a whole other kind of RV, we were like, la, 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 like, don't confuse me with the facts.
No,
you
we're
know?
Buying a pop-up.
Yeah, we had our game plan down. So I think that what we would recommend is that you step back from what you think, right? Like just for a second, instead of just thinking, I know we're going to get a pop-up.
Clear your mind.
Or I know we're going to get a travel
trailer. Get zen on it.
Step back and look at
look
all
at everything.
Of
be open-minded. And we really suggest that you go to the Go RVing website. Maybe you've seen a Go RVing commercial. They have a terrific website. And what GoRVing is, it's basically the entire RVing industry, the manufacturers, all kind of chip in and have created this large campaign called GoRVing. It's put on by the RVIA. So it's not paid for by any one brand or any one company. It's paid for by all of them.
Yeah, just to increase awareness.
Yeah. And it's a very – but their website is great. It's a very educational website. And if you want to go to their website and learn what a pop-up is, or learn what a hybrid travel trailer is.
They have a link to every
type of RV.
And you can click on it and it gives you like the range of size, of weight, of how many it sleeps.
Price.
Like, yeah. And then there's a little video that you can click on that's like
a 360 tour.
Yeah. Of like the standard layout for one of them.
So this is what one looks like. Yeah. This is, you know, so it's a very useful website. Also, their videos are like really great and emotional and they get you into it and they make you want to kind of hit the road and get out
and do it. The real point of this is that we thought a pop-up was the only RV that we could, number one, afford, number two, tow, number three, operate. Like, for some reason, it seemed more accessible.
Yeah, and we're not, we don't mean to be ragging on the pop-up. The pop-up could be a great option for you, but only 10% of RV sales are pop-ups. So actually 90% of people aren't buying pop-ups, and we were hell-bent on buying one.
And I think that people should, but we'll talk about that later. We'll talk about, we'll go into that. But my point being is that we were stuck on that because we weren't educated, I think, about the other options and the price ranges of the other options.
So go to the GoRVing website, learn about all the different types of RVs, start to kind of educate yourself about whether you could tow these types of RVs or if you can afford one of the types of motorhomes. And that's a great starting point for your adventure. And this should be kind of fun and it should be an adventure and it shouldn't be stressful, which is what a lot of people we hear from who ask questions seem to be stressed out by the buying process. We think it should be part of the fun.
Yeah.
Okay. So number two, once you've kind of got an idea of what you might want, whether it's a pop-up or a travel trailer or a motorhome, we really recommend that you rent one first. And one of our readers, JP, wrote into the Facebook page this week and suggested the same thing.
Yeah. He said that like there's so many different types of RVs, which is what we just brought up. And he said that they rented a camper van in New Zealand, and before they had done that, they never would have thought they might want
a
motorhome. And now after they rent it, they thought, oh, well, we're looking at motorhomes.
Yeah, JP and his wife, Kathy, have been hybrid travel trailer people for quite a long time. But now that they rented the motorhome, they're leaning in that direction, or at least thinking about it.
Yeah. Being in a certain RV really changes the way you think about it. And that's hard to judge if you haven't traveled in it. Even if you get in it, you know, in a variety of other circumstances, it's really important to travel in a camper.
Yeah.
So you can do it.
Walking into one at a dealership or an RV show is nothing like being in one for a week. So this is roughly how the rental market works, just to educate you on this, because it's actually a little tricky. So there are a few major rental companies. One is El Monte RV, one is Cruise America, and one is Road Bear RV. Those are the three big ones that we're familiar with anyway. And they have places all over the country where you can rent. But they largely rent Class C motorhomes or occasionally Class A motorhomes. You're not going to rent a pop-up or a travel trailer from these big companies. So if you're interested in seeing what a motorhome's like and that's what you might want to buy, this is a great place to start, right?
Yeah, and or if you just want to know sort of campground culture, like you just want to see if
or if you just want to step back and you have no idea what you want to buy, but you just want to see what campgrounds are like, go get a Class C for the weekend and see if this is just something you would like to do. And now when we've camped, particularly this summer, Steph, we saw lots of people renting.
Over the last 4 years, 5 years of our travels.
Yeah, it's increased.
It is amazing how many more rentals
I would say at the Bar Harbor KOA that about half of the RVs there were
so
rentals. And we spoke to somebody who was renting from El Monte and they said that it had been a very good experience. Yeah. Now that's just very anecdotal. I've never spoken to somebody who's done Cruise America or Road Bear, but they're all probably roughly equivalent to some degree or another.
Right.
So consider renting. Now, if you want to rent a pop-up or a travel trailer or a hybrid travel trailer, it's still a possibility. You would need to contact a local dealer or a dealer nearby And they most likely would rent you something from their used assortment of RVs, right? Mm-hmm. So if you really want to test out a pop-up and see if it's worth it.
Or a travel trailer. People were renting a travel trailer right next to us at the Philadelphia Westchester KOA.
I think it was a hybrid travel trailer. Yeah. So a dealer, and particularly if the dealer knows, hey, you know, we want to try this out and see if we might want to buy one, mm-hmm. they'll probably work out something with you where you could rent.
And that's another way for you to see what you can tow with your current truck or SUV or minivan, you know, what you're set up for. Because if you're first time in this, you want to know. I don't want to go out and buy a new truck maybe.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think the renting's a great option. It's not necessarily a cost-effective way to RV.
That's not the point.
But it's not the point. Yeah. I mean, it's a way to avoid making a mistake, right? I mean, you might rent a pop-up camper and love it, or you might rent one and say, no way, this isn't for me.
Yeah.
So two different ways to approach it. You could go to one of the big companies to rent a Class C, or you could go to a local dealer and kind of test out the pop-up or the travel trailer. You're not going to rent a fifth wheel because you need special equipment on your truck just to hook up a fifth wheel. So that's not an option. So renting is the second big tip we'd give you. The third point, consider buying a really cheap used RV.
I have to say that I wish that's what we had done. We were thinking that we didn't know enough about it, so we needed like creme de la creme of pop-ups. Like for some reason in our heads, we actually thought that that would make it easier for us. Like if we bought a new pop-up with all the bells and whistles.
Because it would have a warranty and nothing would break.
But, you know, here's what happened. We bought our pop-up and we had some friends and they were like, oh, they bought a pop-up. That sounds cool. Well, our buddy, Joe, we've camped with Joe and Ashley a lot over the last few years. A few weeks after we bought our pop-up, he was driving down the road and he saw a pop-up on the side of the road for sale for $500. And he's like, I can afford $500.
It was a 1980s model Jayco.
Yeah. And he pulled over and he bought that pop-up for $500. And they came camping with us, 2 weeks later, 3 weeks later?
Right.
Down in Cape May. We've ended up camping together over and over again throughout the years. And
they used that pop-up for about 2 years, two summers?
Yes, for two summers they were in that pop-up. So we went to our whole first big trip in Maine in that pop-up.
Right.
And I'm not sure exactly when they switched over. But, you know, they realized what they wanted.
They wanted something bigger.
And they knew they would use it because they loved it, right? So they took this $500 pop-up. They did lots of camping in it over the course of two summers.
Absolutely.
And they realized, we love this. We want more.
Right.
They had a lugabaloo like outside the pop-up that they were, you know. And they realized, we want more. We want the bathroom.
So,
we want the shower.
In a sense, like buying the cheap used pop-up or the cheap used travel trailer is kind of the best way to figure out what you want.
Yeah.
Like spend a year in an El Cheapo that you find on Craigslist, and then you will really educate yourself as to what you like and dislike and where you want to go with your RVing lifestyle. And they sold theirs. We've told this story before. They sold that pop-up camper for more than they bought it for. So when you get into the low...
Which is the opposite of us. We sold our pop-up for much less than we bought.
For much less. But let me back up 1 second. So when prices are lower, they tend to stabilize. So if you buy a $1,000, $2,000 travel trailer, you could probably sell it for the same amount a year or two later. Now, our experience was the opposite. We bought a $12,000 or $13,000 pop-up with all the bells and whistles, and we drove that thing off the lot, and it depreciated.
Yeah.
So when you buy a new RV, they depreciate pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. And what often happens is that you buy the new RV and in a year you want something new and you're underwater, right?
Which
you
were.
Owe more than it's worth, which we absolutely were. So I wanted a new travel trailer a year later, but we owed more than it was worth. And actually my salesman told me that could happen.
Yeah.
He actually warned me. He said, you know, you kind of want to make sure this is something you're going to have for a few years, because if you want to sell it in a year, you're going to be underwater.
Yeah. So I think it happens enough that he would say that to you.
It's very common. This is so important to the first time buyers out there. You often think you're going to buy something and have it for 5 years or 10 years, but that's not the way it works for a lot of RVers. You buy that first unit, and in a year, after spending time at all these campgrounds and meeting people with fifth wheels and travel trailers and motorhomes, you want to get rid of that thing and get something else very quickly and move up into a better
now,
unit.
And I know that's what everybody says. They go, oh, they always say buy more than you want. But I understand people's resistance to that kind of advice because that's not the kind of person I am. I'm not going to say, oh, people say to buy more than I want. So that's why I almost have the opposite recommendation where I'm like, hey, go lower. Buy something.
Yeah, we've had people say
used and cheap and see if you love it and see if you fall in love with this and you say, oh, yeah, this is perfect and we just want a little more. I have to say,
we've had people say, you know,
it.
Oh, well, we have $8,000 to $10,000 to spend on our first RV. And Stephanie and I sometimes say, don't spend it. Spend $1,000 or $2,000 on a used one and then save that money for the second one that you buy
once
a
you
year
figure
from
out
now.
Exactly what you want. You can sell that one. You can upgrade once you know this is going to work for us.
That first purchase is so emotional and you're picturing yourself being in that RV for years. But if you fall in love with the lifestyle like most people do, you're going to want to be out of it in a year or two.
Yeah,
so it can be wise to buy the cheap used one.
Or you know that you absolutely love it and it just needs this and the other thing to be perfect and then go get that, right? You'll know after, I would say, 2 seasons of camping, you will know what you want.
You'll know what you want. You'll know what works and what doesn't work. And Stephanie and I, we really mean it. We wish we bought a used one for a couple grand.
Hindsight,
and then we would have been ready to go on our travel trailer. Okay. So our next tip is to go to an RV show and walk around.
Not to buy.
Not to buy. You could buy at an RV show, but don't buy at the first RV show you go to. If you're a first-time buyer, go to an RV show just to browse, to walk in as many units as you can walk into, get a feel for what you like, what you don't like, and also to see those great RV show prices.
Yeah, and so take pictures. Take pictures of the model and the price because you have to understand there are so many models.
It does get overwhelming.
It gets very confusing, and everything's like the SVP23F.
Are you suggesting the RV industry is not creative in naming?
Gosh. It's awful. Like just the list of numbers and letters.
It's like numbers and words. It's like number and word vomit, basically.
It just makes me, it makes my head spin. So take pictures of the model.
Or take notes and write down prices.
I would recommend just taking your camera phone and taking like, you know, a picture of the model and the price. And then also what I would recommend is trying to see as many different types of layouts as possible, because then the floor plans online make a little more sense.
Stephanie hates looking at floor plans online. We've mentioned this before.
They don't make sense unless you've been in a space and you understand the difference between like the, you know, 3 bunks with a slide out or the 2 big bunks with the bathroom next to it. As soon as you see those sort of standard layouts and you see that they repeat themselves across different
manufacturers, right.
You'll get a feel for it and you'll be able to interpret a floor plan online.
Also realize that when you walk into an RV show it's going to look spacious. You've got to kind of picture your junk in it, right? I mean, you've got to kind of visualize what it's going to be like with the kids in it, the
and
clothes in
happens.
It.
And that never happens. I mean, that's the same thing with buying a house, right? A house always feels so much different once you're moved into it.
Well, that's why people say buy bigger than what you think
you need.
But you
know what? And again, I disagree with that because I would rather change my, you know, adjust my packing habits or whatever. I don't necessarily need to say, oh, I need enough space for all of the stuff that I think I want to bring. I'm perfectly willing to downsize a little bit or to try to work with a different, if it fits us for different reasons, right?
Right.
I mean,
so check out the RV shows. Go to gsmedia.com or just Google around. You'll find an RV show in your area, particularly during the winter months.
Yeah.
Now, once you've figured out a make and a model that you might like, you know, you want a Keystone fifth wheel bunkhouse or you want a Jayco hybrid or whatever it may be, This is we really recommend this. And Stephanie was emphasizing this before the show tonight. You need to go to the online forums and ask if there's any people out there that own the model you're interested in. Not just do you own a Keystone or do you own an Airstream.
The brand.
Actually, just mention the specific unit you're looking at. And all of the manufacturers, there are forums out there that people put together. There's a Jayco forum. There's a KZ forum. There's Airstream forums. There's Winnebago forums. You sign up, get on those forums and say, hey, does anybody out there own the Jayco 29 SQB like we do or whatever? And people out there will own those units and they'll talk to you about their experience with them. And there's nothing better than that.
It's something that we really learned over the last few years is how remarkably helpful people in the RVing community are.
They want to share their experiences, good and bad.
And we've talked about this with trip planning. You really, if you want to have a good trip, like you go onto the forums and ask people about campgrounds. You get such crowdsourced material, you won't go wrong. And the same thing is true for
So if there's a lot of people out there having a very negative experience with a certain make and model, you'll find out if you do your forum research.
Yeah.
Or if people are really loving a certain model, you'll find out. Or if the reviews are mixed, you'll find out. So
because it's both. In the RV communities, people will let you know when they're unhappy with something with their RV because it is such an emotional thing. It's like your baby. It's your love. It's your RV. You want to go on vacation.
So
you don't want to worry
about it. People
are
very happy if things are going well.
Yes.
And people are very angry
people
if they're not going well.
People love their RVs and they'll be like, this is the best RV ever and blah, 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 blah. And then if they don't like it, oh, they'll tell you.
Yeah, I mean, if there's a problem with the refrigerators breaking or something, you'll find out. So it's an extra amount of homework you have to do, but it may be one of the most pivotal things we can recommend.
Yeah.
Tip number 5, get onto the forums and ask very specific questions and ask if people own the unit that you want to buy.
It's the most valuable free thing you can
totally
ever do.
Free.
Yep.
Totally free.
Yep.
Tip number 6, understand the pros and cons of buying from an online RV retailer. Once you start surfing around and researching RVs, you're going to find out there are actual online retailers. You can buy an RV online without ever going to a dealership. So these are businesses that don't have physical dealerships and physical salesmen. They're all online. And the major pro here is that this is the cheapest way to buy an RV. There's just really almost no way around it. The best possible price you're going to find is almost always from the online dealer.
By thousands of dollars.
It can often be $1,000, $2,000. And a lot of people get those prices and they go to real dealers and the real dealers can't match them. Now, that probably sounds great to some of you out there. But we actually recommend not buying from online dealers. Right, Steph?
Well, right. And that's if you know exactly what RV you want, exactly, and you can buy it online and your budget is very firm and you can afford it because you can buy it online, that's fine. But you really do need to know then that somebody's going to be able to take care of that RV.
Yeah, when you buy from an online dealer, you're not going to be able to get it serviced there because these online dealers are usually out in the Midwest.
If
you're in New Jersey or Pennsylvania, you're not going to bring it there to get service.
Mm-hmm. And this is something that you wouldn't know really if you weren't in the RV sort of community, because if you buy a car at a Toyota dealership,
you can bring it to any
Toyota
dealership.
You can bring it to any dealership. And of course, they're going to take care of your car. They love taking care of your car. They make money off of taking care of your car.
Right.
But it's not the same way.
In the RV world, it's different. The dealers are really kind of stressed out trying to deal with customers and service their customers. So they prioritize their own customers.
People who have bought
from that dealership. Yeah. So if you've purchased your RV from an online retailer out in Ohio and you bring it to your local RV dealership, they're going to put you at the back of the line. I mean, it might take you a couple weeks to get service, where if you bought the RV at that dealership, they're going to work with you more quickly.
I think they're also going to work with you on warranty issues, those kinds of things. Dealers put a lot of time and energy into.
This segues into number 7. I mean, we actually do believe you should buy from a local dealer and choose that dealer wisely. Mm-hmm. So that's our seventh tip, is to really to look around at all the dealers in your area and find one you're very comfortable with. Because I was joking around with you before the show, it's kind of like getting married.
Well, yeah, and I don't know about that because we've already worked with two different dealers. So that analogy kind of
it's like a divorce.
But
it's a relationship. Yeah. And that's the thing is, like, I mean, people out there, first-time buyers, you may think you're going to buy this RV, you're going to bring it home, and it's never going to break, and it's always going to work perfectly. That's not going to happen. And I don't care what kind of RV you buy. You're going to find there's just going to be reasons to bring it back to the dealer. Yes. I mean, it's like when you buy a house, you'd be crazy to think you're never going to need a plumber.
Right.
You're never going to need an HVAC guy. I mean, you're buying a house on wheels. You're going to need that dealer. Sometimes
you know, people love having their plumber and their electrician that they love, right? Everybody always says, like, do you have an HVAC person?
Right.
Like, you know, you want your
guy. Do you have a guy? Yeah.
You want your guy. So just like that, it's the same way with your RV. You really want your guy. Like,
yeah, you want somebody that you trust and that you're comfortable with, mm-hmm. and somebody that you can call with questions. And you know, when something breaks, you want someone who's going to help you quickly.
So we've been really lucky in this area because even though for our first RV, our pop-up, we had a lot of issues.
We had a lot of issues, but we loved the dealer.
But the dealer was so good.
Stones Camping World. We'd buy from them again.
They were great.
They were good, honest people. Mm-hmm. And when there was a problem, they really did their best to fix it.
Yeah.
And I became friendly with them at Stones.
Very much
we all did.
And it wasn't that was another thing in the RV world that we didn't understand at first. People only sell certain brands, like very limited brands. Like
each RV dealership will maybe sell three or four or five different brands.
So while we were very happy with Stones in terms of their service.
Yeah, we think Stones sells a lot of great brands.
Yeah,
our pop-up didn't work for us.
We weren't happy. So we had to go to a different dealership because we knew that we wanted to buy a Jayco
the second time.
And
Stones
so we
didn't
went
sell
to
Jayco. So we went to Whitehorse.
Whitehorse, which was the Jayco dealership nearby us. And
not that nearby, unfortunately.
No, the closest one. So, but again, we've been very happy with
them.
They really have. Wonderful.
Like, the service people are nice. The salesmen are nice. I mean, it's a positive experience there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in a weird way, if I have to bring the RV in, I kind of like look forward to it. Like, oh, I'm going to go say hello to Rick over at Whitehorse, you know? So the point is, when you're shopping for an RV, even if you're offered a great price at a dealership, if you don't feel comfortable with the people there, or you don't feel like they're trustworthy, or it doesn't feel like the type of place you want to go back to, don't buy the RV
if
there.
You don't have a
because you're
going to
be
feeling.
Back.
Yeah, and we did. Like, we really negotiated hard. Really negotiated hard for the Jayco. And the thing was that Rick, our sales guy,
he's our guy.
He didn't take it personally. Like, nobody was taking it personally.
No,
he was so awesome. Nice.
At one point, I said, oh, I can get this RV for this price out in Pennsylvania. And he said, well, if you can get it for that price, you should probably go buy it there.
And he meant it.
And he was serious.
So nice.
Yeah.
Such a nice guy.
The thing we liked most about Stones and about Whitehorse was it was not high-pressure environments.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, though we were going after a good deal, it was a positive
They were very
experience.
Cool and very mellow.
Yeah.
Yeah, both with Stones and Whitehorse, we called back multiple times. We visited multiple times.
And
we had the kids out there multiple times. And they were nice to us every time.
And I think that is part of what we're saying here is take your time and figure out what's right for you. Don't let anybody tell you what's right
for
you.
Yeah, so you're not just shopping for an RV. You're shopping for a dealer that you want to work with.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's other dealers much closer to our house that we're not comfortable with, and we don't think we'd buy from because we feel like it's high-pressure sales environment.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we drove an hour and a half to get to Stones every time we needed to go and an hour and a half to get to Whitehorse.
Yeah.
But for us, it's worth it because of the relationships and because of the people working there.
Mm-hmm.
So keep that in mind. You're not just buying an RV. You're forging a relationship with the dealer. Okay, so tip number 8. We've talked about this before. We're going to talk about it again.
Yeah.
The mythical 30% off MSRP rule.
Yeah.
Now, interestingly enough, on our Facebook page this morning, we asked our readers for tips for first-time buyers, and we had two people write back in very quickly, and they both said, and it was Mark and Marie, they both said, get 30% off MSRP.
Right.
So when you talk to people who have bought multiple RVs, people who are kind of, they know the game, that 30% off rule is, it's out there. People know that you should get 30% off.
Yeah. Now, we did not know that with our first pop-up.
And we didn't get 30% off.
30% off. Now, the second time you did know that rule and you pushed for it, but I got
28% off. So what Mark pointed out when the comment he left on Facebook is that you're not always going to get 30% off, but it's what you should shoot for.
Right. That's
and he's 100% right. I mean, the idea that you're going to walk in at any time of the year and with any unit just say, I want 30% off MSRP, that may not happen.
Right.
I mean, it depends on if you're buying in the winter, the spring, the summer.
The popularity of that model, how long
the popularity of the model. Yeah. But if you go in the late summer, the fall, the winter, at a time when they have the new models coming in and still some of last year's models on the lot, you definitely should get 30% off MSRP. So that's what you want to go for. And, you know, there's a high markup in the RV world, and so many first-time buyers don't know that. And in essence, I think the markup is so high to get the first-time buyer, sadly.
You're going
to
make the most money off your first-time buyer.
Yeah.
After that, they get a little more savvy. But not our listeners. They're not going to get the markup
on you. That's right,
because
you know. I mean, look, when you go to buy a car, most people know that, you know, the markup's not that high. I mean, it's not like it's, you know.
Everybody goes, oh, I got it for invoice. Yeah.
Everybody gets it for invoice. Is just a little bit below the asking price.
Right.
But in the RV world, I mean, they do kind of jack up the price over what they need to sell it for. So you, our listener, you know, you're shooting for 30%. And I would say be happy if you get 20. But if you're not getting 20, you're not negotiating hard enough. Okay? So that's tip number 8, 30% off. Tip number 9, and I love this one, and Nelson wrote in and suggested this one, and it's actually something we did, but I would not have thought of this for the show if Nelson had not mentioned this.
Absolutely, and we thought, oh my gosh, that's perfect. Of course
perfect.
We did this, and we are so happy.
So thank you, Nelson.
We did it.
Nelson suggested recording your walkthrough after you buy the first RV. Now, when you buy any RV, the dealer's going to give you a walkthrough, and this can be up to an hour. It can be 2 hours, depending on the unit you're buying. And they actually have people there that are trained to show you how every aspect of the RV functions. Now, we recorded our walkthrough on my iPhone, and it was about an hour long.
Yeah, probably. I mean, if not longer.
And Whitehorse,
we did it in little bits and pieces right on the phone. Like, we would stop every time we went on to a new system.
Yeah, we kind of did it in like 4 segments.
Yeah, segments.
But I have about an hour worth of this walkthrough recorded on the iPhone. And the guy did, Whitehorse did an awesome job. I mean, he went over every aspect of the travel trailer. And every season when I open up our Jayco Whitehawk, I watch it again as a refresher.
Because he went through every system.
Yeah, every system.
From the hot water heater to the electric to...
Yeah, and a travel trailer is kind of like relatively simple. But if you're buying a motorhome, you want to record that walkthrough. And I recommend doing it right on your phone or doing it on an iPad or something.
Then it's with you.
Then it's with you. So if you have I actually have watched this video while we were camping to try and solve a problem or two. So again, thank you so much to Nelson. Record your walkthrough.
Yeah, definitely.
Now, if you're buying a used one off Craigslist, you're not going to walk through.
Yeah.
Though actually, you could ask someone if you're buying a pop-up camper from somebody.
And, you know, now that I think about it,
you could ask for that.
I think that Joe did get
show me how this thing works.
A walkthrough, because I remember the first time I went camping with them after they bought this $500 pop-up.
Right.
He had the whole story behind the pop-up, and he was telling us all about it. I think that the guy...
Yeah, if you're buying a used one, whoever you're buying it from has used the unit before.
Yeah.
So, hey, ask for a walkthrough. So there's another tip. That's a bonus tip for our listeners.
10+1.
Yeah, thank you, Nelson, so much. Now, tip 10 is once you buy your unit, you need to use it. You need to go camping. You need to get out there. You need to find your own authentic experience.
You have to... I feel like... initially, it can be a little overwhelming and seem like a big deal. So you might make it more of a big deal than it has to be. I think that we would really recommend just using it as much as possible. For little trips, big trips, you know, whatever you can get out there for. Because here's the thing. Our first two seasons were such huge learning curves for us.
Particularly the first season.
Oh my gosh. The first season. I went into it treating our RV experience like we were tent camping. all of the things that I ever knew about tent camping, with between coolers and this and that and the other thing. Like, so I didn't even use RRV as well as it could be used. And it was like, it would take me a little time and I'd go, wait a minute.
I have a refrigerator.
I could do this. I can do that. And I started to adjust slowly over time. It wasn't like I walked into it thinking, oh, this is luxury. I had a hard time, like, realizing the extent to which I could use the RV to make things easier. And it's taken me years. I didn't even bring the blender, I don't think, until last year.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, you learn as you go. Mm-hmm. And the more you go, the more you learn, and the faster you learn. Now, some people would suggest starting somewhere close by at first.
Yeah, do, like, trial runs. We never did that, really.
Yeah, we kind of just dove right into it. But get out there, you know, try a state park. Try a KOA, try a Jellystone, try a good sip, try a little bit of everything.
And we did do that. The first trip that we took was at a very rustic state park. Then the next trip that we took was at a
high-end private campground.
Private campground.
Yeah.
And it really, just getting out there and taking those trips over the first year. I mean, Cape Hatteras, you know, it gave us this idea of the type of thing we could do and the way we wanted to do it in the future.
And there's so much out there in the world of campgrounds. There's so many terrific places. There are terrific state parks for $30 a night. Mm-hmm. And there are terrific, amazing family campgrounds that can go $80 a night if they're on a lake or near the ocean or whatever it may be. Yeah. So go out there and explore and love it. I mean, everybody we know that gets into the RVing lifestyle really gets hooked and really loves it. We think you will too.
Fun. So as we mentioned at the beginning of this episode, our recommendation this week is a little bit different than our past recommendations. We're talking about The Prophet, a TV show.
And we don't watch a whole lot of TV.
It's not tons. But of course, this is one of our shows that we are kind of geeking out on.
Yeah, we're really into this one.
We like this, to watch this together. So this, The Prophet is on Tuesday nights.
On CNBC.
At 10 p.m.
10 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just too late, by the way. That's late for us.
Well, most of the time we watch it recorded.
We do watch it recorded, but now we like to watch it live, but we'll get to that in a second.
Okay. So we've been watching the show now all last season, and this is the second season.
It's the second season,
so it's been on for a little while. And we started watching it at the beginning, and we liked it enough.
You haven't told our readers what this has to do with camping and RVing.
Okay. Oh, okay. All right. So what does
that was the whole teaser.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of you probably know this, but some of you may not. So Marcus Lemonis is the owner of Camping World and Good Sam.
Yeah. Which
So he's a major name in the RV industry. Absolutely.
Like, big shot. Like, yeah,
big
RV,
shot.
Big shot.
RV, big
like
shot.
Like, making
guy.
Big decisions about RVs, right?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Camping World's like the biggest RV seller
and
in the country.
Own an RV, you probably have a Good Sam membership. Like, how many people have Good Sam memberships?
A million and a half.
Right. Okay. So
we have a Good Sam
people.
Membership.
Yeah.
It's worth mentioning it's worth having a Good Sam membership.
Yeah.
You know, you get free publications, you get 10% discounts off at campgrounds. So he is a figure in the RVing world, though the show itself does not really have anything to do with RVing yet at this point. Anyway.
Although he does do some cross promotional
stuff.
He's
popped into Camping World a few times.
Putting products into the stores.
Yeah.
And done things like
so
that.
The
you
prophet,
can tell,
what The Prophet's all about is Marcus finds these businesses that are struggling, they're close to bankruptcy, or maybe there's like very dysfunctional family relationships, and he invests and he tries to turn them around.
Yeah.
And he really takes over.
Well, you can see he has such a soft spot for the American business.
Yeah, for the mom and pop business, for the American dream.
He
really
feels that the American dream, should be alive and well in America, and he wants to see these businesses doing things the
correct
way.
He says he wants to save jobs and he wants to make money.
Yeah.
God bless him.
And you can also see he gets just such a, like, I think a creative rush out of going into a business and putting his stamp on it.
Well, and it's fun to watch him. You know, he walks into these businesses, he kind of talks to people, he looks around, and you can see, like, very quickly he figures out, like, what are the 10 problems here, or what are the 5 problems that need to be fixed.
Right.
And these people get into ruts. You know, anyone out there who's worked in a mom and pop business knows you can kind of settle into
the negative patterns,
the family dynamics. He comes in and just, like, cuts through all the crap, like, very quickly.
And he's kind of adorable about doing it, too, because he has this really interesting mix between being very, like, hard-nosed about what he knows has to happen and very business savvy, and also being this sort of, like, sweet, cuddly guy. But it's very authentic.
Unless there's someone there who is being selfish or someone who's
like,
destroying the business.
He cuts through the nonsense and is very business-minded. Like, you're not helping. But then on the other side of things, he does these little things, right? All of like that typical TV nonsense.
Well, there's
where
hugs
you're like,
and handshakes and high fives.
But he does it and you go, you know what? I can believe this. This is authentic. Like, he knows how to have relationships with people. You can tell.
Yeah, he does.
You can tell that he
knows how to end them too.
Yeah, exactly. And
when
so
they
that's
need to end for the sake
very
of the business.
Very interesting to watch, you know? Very different than like sort of like the, what is the TV show with like Donald Trump or, you know,
oh gosh,
like The Apprentice
or whatever.
Like very different than those sort of other CEO kind of personalities.
So his personality is fascinating, but also I mean, as a teacher, I find the show actually really educational. I mean, he's not afraid to throw up a pie chart. You know, like he's not afraid to crunch some numbers about the business. And it's like you're kind of watching going like, oh, that's how it works.
Charts. Like it's very graphics. Like they love their like little graphics that
businesses come down to numbers, right? And a lot of these families get into these dynamics where it's
and
like
they don't know their numbers.
Well, there's like 10 issues that dominate the business and none of them have to do with the bottom line or numbers.
Yeah.
So he comes in and he kind of teaches you everything you need to know about fixing this business.
Right.
It's kind of quite inspiring.
Yes. So it's fun, and we enjoyed watching it. Now, for a little while, we were worried this season.
There was one episode that kind of – there's one I remember that kind of threw us off where we felt like he knew at the beginning that it wasn't going to work, but he went through with it anyway for the sake of the show.
Just like the drama.
Yeah, it felt like that a little bit. That was with that fish – company,
the fish market.
Yeah.
And it felt like, are they kind of going more in the direction of like picking businesses that are going to get
drama,
right? Where people are going to be yelling at each other. And then we were like, and we were a little bit disappointed because in the past episodes, we hadn't really felt that way.
Well, it made for good TV, but it was kind of like train wreck TV.
And we're not really into that. Like, we like some reality TV, but it's more of like...
But the better episodes kind of have the warm, cuddly, happy ending where he like saves the business and he saves people's jobs. So the last two were really good, we thought, right?
Yeah.
The one about Coopersburg Sports, which is in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
It's about a company that makes
the mini bats.
Yeah, they do licensing on mini bats, and the father had kind of rescued the business from his father years ago and turned it into a big success, but it had been struggling and he was unwilling to try anything new, but his daughter and his son had all these amazing ideas and he was shutting them down. So it was all about these family dynamics that weren't working out, and you know, kind of Marcus came in and cut through all of it and gave the kids a voice, and the kids came up with all these like awesome ideas to revitalize the business, right?
Yeah, it was really fun to watch, and it was a good episode. And the last episode was...
Well, the last one was even more fun for us. So it was about Schuler's Barbecue, which is a family-run barbecue joint in South Carolina. Now, we watched this one live at 10 p.m. Tuesday night.
Which we don't normally do.
That's so sad. They tell you, you know, that you can use the hashtag #TheProfit and you can tweet during the show. Now, we have never sat and watched a show and tweeted before.
No, because we're not big tweeters.
We're not big tweeters.
You know, no,
we really are. I've used Twitter for years, actually.
We've used Twitter.
But never really like a disciple of Twitter.
No, because it's really just like those people that are there on it all the time that get into Twitter. And we're so not on.
Yeah, we're not masters of Twitter.
No.
I used Twitter with my students when it came out 5 or 6 or 7 years ago. But no, we've never used it live for an event or a show.
Right.
So we started throwing out some tweets and following the tweets under the hashtag #TheProfit. it. And I
which are really like hilarious.
Which are pretty funny and fun. So I threw out a tweet to Marcus and he responded.
Yeah, you got an answer back.
I got an answer back from Marcus Lemonis, which was really good, dorky fun. I mean, I don't care if you think I'm ridiculous. I kind of enjoyed it.
Right. So it's not something that we've ever done before. We did it. It was fun.
But guess what we'll be doing next Tuesday night at 10 p.m.
At 10 p.m. if you want a live tweet.
So look, watch the show. We recommend The Profit. If you like Shark Tank, this is – I'm kind of enjoying it more than Shark Tank at the moment.
Yeah, because I think that Shark Tank, you know, it got a little bit in a rut.
Yeah, I mean, what? There are multiple seasons in it. Yeah. We still have Shark Tank.
Okay.
But the Profit, I don't know, more, a little more personal, a little bit more of a narrative, I think.
And, you know, you always want the follow-ups from Shark Tank. Like, oh, well, how did they do and what happened?
Right.
And they give that a little bit. But you do feel like with The Profit, you're getting more of the story and you're getting more, like, invested into whether these people succeed or not.
Yeah, and, so we highly recommend The Profit. And maybe you want to tweet along with us next week.
Yeah, we'll see you on Twitter. Thanks so much for listening to this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas. Don't forget to join our giveaway for the Creative Action Network. We are giving away a free poster or print from the website.
This week, next week, and the week after.
Right.
One per week.
One per week. And all you have to do is head on over to iTunes and give us a review. And then send us an email.
Glowing review.
Four or five stars. And then send us an email at livelittlecampers@gmail.com.
Yeah, and you'll get to pick the print you want.
Any print you want.
I don't know if we mentioned that the first time.
Yep, any print you want from the Creative Action
Network. Oh, and just, you know, check out their website and go over there and do some shopping. 30% off till Monday. We have three other awesome giveaways going right now. We're just giving away a lot of stuff.
I know,
it's the holiday season.
It is. It's so exciting.
A two-night stay at the Philadelphia Westchester KOA for an RV site, a cabin, or credit towards a deluxe site, two copies of Jane and Michael Stern's classic Road Food, and a mini kick of your choice, Steph. A micro mini kick. They're scooters and they're awesome. And that's all you need to know. And they seriously are the best. I want one.
I had all three of our kids at the boardwalk today scooting. And I have a 19-month-old and 2 5-year-olds. And we were scooting up the boardwalk.
All on products by this company.
All on micro kickboards. Yeah.
We're giving away so much stuff. I want some of this stuff.
I know, but we can't win any of it.
I want a poster from See America for free.
You're not allowed to.
I want free camping at the Philadelphia Westchester KOA.
If you need other ideas for holiday giving, don't forget to listen to last week's episode. It's episode 10.
Episode 10. We did our holiday gift guide. We did six gifts for kids and six for adults.
Yeah.
And what was your
very affordable, too.
What was your favorite gift from the holiday gift guide?
I'm really into my packing cubes right now because the eBag packing cubes I was excited about because
game changer.
I wasn't even expecting to like them as much as I did. And I always like
you
it when
you say you
find
want
it.
A revolution. This was a packing revolution. My favorite gift was maybe the Estwing Fireside Friend. And if you have no clue what that is, go back and listen to our holiday gift guide.
Yeah.
Also, join us next week as I try to tweet with Shaquille O'Neal, Ashton Kutcher, and Snooki all at the same time. And we'll get Marcus Lemonis in on that, too.
Well, no, we're really going to get Marcus Lemonis. Marcus Lemonis in on things when he shows up next week and tries to whip RV Family Travel Atlas into shape. He's going to want to see our numbers.
He's going to want to see the numbers. Oh my gosh, that's too funny. I'm like totally frightened right now, actually.
Yeah, you better get the books in line.
Marcus, will you invest in us? He always wants 50%. That's
how
the problem.
We give him 50%
you'd get
of
25,
this.
I'd get 25.
Never.
50% of this. That's funny. Okay. Also, join us next week as we debut our new self-help hotline for first-time RV buyers. It'll be a 1-800 number.
24 hours a day.
24 hours a day, 99 cents per minute. You can call us with all your stresses and woes, and we'll get you through it.
We got to get those numbers up for Marcus.
Or else just go back and listen to this episode of the podcast again.
All right, and lastly, next week, we are going to talk about our top 10 favorite podcast episodes from RV Family Travel
Atlas. There's only been 11.
You don't know which one's getting the axe.
We're going to vote one of the episodes off the island.
Totally.
Is it the first one? Is it the first one? Oh, that's historically important, even though we had no idea what we were doing. Thank you so much for joining us. Join one of the giveaways. Drop us a note on Facebook. Like us on Instagram. And go back and root through our archives. We've got 11 episodes now with lots of great information.
Yeah, and we love to hear from our listeners because it gives us ideas for what you guys want to hear
our
about.
Listeners wrote this episode today. Nelson, all these people. We put up this question on Facebook, and they kind of, like, wrote the segment for us.
No, we
thanks,
love to hear
JP.
From you guys. We appreciate
and
it.
And Mark and Marae, too.
Yeah, you're smart.
Happy holidays.
Bye.
You guys are smart.